Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills.
Be afraid. Message.
When you hear this message,
message. Would you come home to your family today? Don't stay where you are. Come back to us. When you hear this message, come home today. Ooh, don't stay away. Don't stay away. When you hear this message, standing at the door, and he's calling out to you. So don't stay away. Would you come home? Come home. Come home. Oh, don't stay away.
Don't stay away.
When you get this message, please respond and come home today.
Put your hands together for the Greater Love Choir. Hallelujah. We have a baby dedication today. Please, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome Mr. and Mrs. Ahedo. Please put your hands together for them as they come on stage. Please encourage them as they come on stage. Oh, please put your hands together. It's not an easy journey. Please put your hands together for them as they come up.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. We want to dedicate the children. Come and stand on this line right here. All right. This is actually from the Kodesh, but he has been loaned to the Kodesh for a season. As he's coming for baby dedication, he's showing that he wants to come back to First Love. Oh, that is not the case. All right. So, what are the names of your babies?
Thank you, Daddy. The first child, he's called Kenneth Doug Ahedo. And Kenneth means handsome. Doug means brightness or bright light. But I named him Kenneth Doug because of Reverend Kenneth Hagen and Bishop Doug Hayward Mills. Ahedo is the family name. It means poverty is asleep. And the second wonderful baby girl, she is called Augusta Seiram Ahedo. I was blessed. Augusta was named by my two fathers, my spiritual father and my biological father. Bishop Dal gave me the name Augusta for our baby girl. And my father, Augusta means grand or majestic. And Seriam means a destined, blessed destiny. Blessed destiny. And Ahedo, poverty at sleep.
All right. Stretch out your hands. Father, we thank you for these wonderful children. Their names, Kenneth, Doug. Kenneth means handsome. And Dark is brightness or a bright light. We declare that this shall be his story and his portion for the rest of his life in Jesus' name. And for our daughter, Augusta Seyram, grand, majestic, and a blessed destiny. Lord, so shall it be. According to the names declared over her life, she shall be a child with a blessed destiny. We dedicate them to you, Lord. Let these children always be found in your house. Serve you for the rest of their lives. Give them good friends. And when they are growing up, don't let them have bad friends. Save them from bad company. Don't let them learn bad things when they are in school. Give them a good person who will show them good things all the days of their lives. We bless them. Save them from accidents, from falling into hot water or hot oil, or save them from being knocked down by a car accidentally when they are going to school. Let them be safe in school. May they never fall out of the balcony or fall into any tragic situation. When there is a group of people going to die, let them escape. In Jesus' name. Let poverty be asleep in their lives. According to their name, there will be no poverty ever. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for your blessing. Amen. Well, Pastor, come and stand right here. Do you promise to bring up your son and your daughter? They have heavy names. Do you promise to bring them up in the ways of the Lord? Bring them to church. Teach them the Bible and the things of God so that when they grow up, they do not depart from it. If you do promise, then say, I do.
I do.
Say, I do.
I do.
Now say, we do.
We do.
Wonderful. We're going to take a picture. This is the tallest pastor in the church. God bless you and God bless your children. They are blessed children. Amen. Oh, we have a certificate as well. There's a baby certificate for Kenneth Dag Ahedo and Augusta Seyram Ahedo. You can use it for passport, visa to South Africa and visa to Australia. It's a blessing. And these are gifts, the first Bible for girls. And then the first Bible for boys. Give the Lord a clap offering. God bless you.
Please put your hands together for Mr. and Mrs. Ahedo. It's time for testimonies. Amen. How many of you are becoming wiser through the testimonies? Please help me welcome Joshua to share his testimony with us. Please put your hands together for him.
My name is Joshua Achu Ahedemla from Ashesi, a member of the Greater Love Choir of the music division. My testimony is about how God gave me my first job in Ashesi as a TA through shepherding. So when I was in Ashesi, I realized that a lot of students, the first years, used to struggle with a course called pre-calculus. It's a difficult course, and they used to skip church so that they could do their assignments on Sundays. And I took it upon myself to teach them the pre-calculus so that they could come to church. And doing that, the lecturers, they took notice of it. I didn't know. They took notice of it. And I'm someone who doesn't have job experience or anything. I never did an internship. But when I applied for a job as a TA in Ashesi University, by God's grace, I got it. That was the first time I tried. I applied. And the very first time I tried it, I also got it. So I want to thank God and thank the life of Daddy Bishop for teaching us how to become a shepherd and what it means to become a shepherd. be a shepherd and God will bless you. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for Joshua. We have another testimony. Help me welcome Philemon to share his testimony with us.
Hi, everybody. My name is Philemon Okulu, and I'm in the Greater Love Club, the first club. My testimony is about a narrow escape from death about a month ago, and I believe it's because of the prayers of our daddy, Bishop Dagiron Mills. About a month ago, I went to see my supervisor, and he wasn't around. So I decided to rush to Medina and come back in about an hour so that I'm sure he'll be around by the time. So I passed through Pentagon Hostel because my department is close at the end. When I was walking, there was a lady walking in front of me. I was in the hurry, so she was looking over her shoulder. I think she felt uncomfortable. So the third time she looked over her shoulder, she screamed. And she was looking directly at my feet. So I also stood down and I was startled. I was like, oh, really, why? And I realized I was standing on a big snake. And I was so scared. I was just looking at it like that. And it was trying to bend to bite me. So I jumped and it ran away. A guy was also behind and he was just looking. He was shocked. And I was just thanking God for my life and thanking God for the prayers of our bishop. Because I know it takes the prayers of daddy to save me from such sudden surprises of the enemy. So I want to say a big thank you to daddy, and I want to say that everybody should believe in the prayers. It's very, 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 very real. Thank you very much, daddy. Thank you.
Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise for a powerful testimony? We have our final testimony. Help me welcome Joseho to share her testimony with us.
Hallelujah. My name is Joseho Kabelo. I'm from Botswana. I'm part of the Greater Love Singers. And my testimony is about how God saved me from a life that I used to live through the decision of our daddy to plant a church in Botswana. Before I got born again, I used to drink alcohol. I used to go to clubs. I used to have boyfriends. I used to be a very heavy smoker. At a point, I could smoke close to 10 cigarettes in a day. And I used to smoke marijuana too. And you should not be surprised. And then it came to a point where I even went to an extent of being in a relationship with a lady. And by the grace of God, I have been saved from all these things. And even what happened was that on a Saturday, I had gone to school to study. And then it was a Saturday, so I went to study. And then I had a plan to go and see my friend who would probably go out in the evening. I went to check. She was staying on campus. So I went to check her. And then after that, she was not around. So I was walking down to go back home. And then on my way, I met a brother named Benedict Kintitwe. He's now a pastor in Botswana. And he invited me to church. And I came to church. And ever since then, I've not looked back. Because the life that I used to live and the life that I live now is better. I cannot imagine where I could have been. Right now, as I speak, one of the closest friends I have, she has a baby, and I don't have a baby. And daddy also came to Botswana, and he preached, and he said that God has saved you, and you can use your life to serve him. in response saying, thank you for what you have done for my life. And by the grace of God, he said that as I'm leaving, he was leaving Botswana, he said, as I'm leaving, some of you here should make a decision to come to the Bible school, to come and be trained. And by the grace of God, I'm in a Bible school and I'm being trained to become a pastor. Hallelujah. And now I want to encourage every single one of us that the decision you have taken to serve God is not in vain. And you should take it seriously. And all the outreaches that Daddy makes that we should go and save souls is because of somebody else who's like me, who's waiting for you. I want to say thank you, Daddy, so much for sending one of your best shepherds to Botswana and coming to have a beautiful camp with us, which saved my life. And I'm here serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Put your hands together for a wonderful testimony. Amen. Please take your seats. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Ims.
So young, but thanks for choosing me. You turned me inside out and you changed me. Give me brand new heart, only you, the only one who won my heart that way. And I wanna do all I can just to serve you. Surrender you, the only one who won my heart today. Let me tell you now, all that's on my mind. When I think about the day you called for me and said, yeah, you must preach for me, you must work for me. Thanks for choosing me, thanks for calling me. Now how can I say thanks? Oh, oh, oh. And you turned me inside out and you changed me. Give me brand new heart, only you, the only one who won my heart that way. Let me tell you now, all that's on my mind. No one ever liked me, no one chose me much. But you chose me, Lord, yet you liked me, Lord. Thanks for also with my life, I serve you now. How can I say thanks? Oh, oh, oh. And you turned me inside out and you changed me. Give me brand new heart, only you, the only one who won my heart that way. Oh.
followed other dreams, but now I want to serve you, you and only you, only you. Want to live and die for. I give my life only to you now. And oh, and you turn me inside out and you change me. Give me brand new heart, only you. The only one who want my heart that way. Surrender my life just for you, the only one who won my heart today. Yeah. You won my heart today. You won my heart today. Only you, the only one who won my heart today. Yeah. You won my heart today. That way.
Amen. How many of you are blessed? Well, it's time for the word of God. Amen. You didn't hear me. I said it's time for the word of God. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe God has given us a great shepherd who is going to feed us with the word of God. If you're excited, make some noise. Let's welcome Bishop Dagoe Mills.
The Lord has given for you and me so we can see. Oh, I see the light the Lord has given. Oh, I see the light.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful day, an opportunity that we have to come to church to serve you. Lord, we don't want to be far, we want to be close. Bless us as we come at this time, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Tell your neighbor, tell two people, I'm glad you came to church. Tell the person, you'll never be the same again. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. Now, I am sharing with you very briefly, and we continue tonight in the revival. Christ and his private interviews. The private interviews of Jesus Christ. Why would you want to have a private interview with Jesus Christ? And therefore, why would you need to have a private interview with your shepherd? Why would you want to have a private discussion or interview or interaction? Because of many reasons which I gave you, but I'm giving you one more today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. It says, many will say to me, all right, good power on stage. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonders. Right? Verse 23. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now, I never understood this verse. It's difficult to understand. How can somebody say the things he said in verse 22? What did he say in verse 22? I prophesied and I cast out devils and I did wonderful works. Then the next thing you tell him about, I didn't know you. You got to be serious. You didn't know me. Was I not working in your name? Now, this verse shows us that you can work and do things, but not have a personal relationship. And you can be around. That's why people have all the problems they have when they get married. Because you think you know somebody, but you don't know the person. Yeah. That's why we have all the problems. Ah, I never knew you were like this. I never knew you were like this. I never knew you were moody. You know, one day I went somewhere and I asked, how is this sister? And they told me, this is a very moody sister. And I was shocked. She's a very pretty, smiley person. She's always cheerful when I come there. He said, this one, mood galore. She can spread the whole atmosphere. Nobody can feel free. Yeah. Anyway, it happened one day when two pastors came to see me. Two of our pastors, and one was called, I think Lord, one was called something else. And they said that, they said, they are pastors, Lighthouse pastors. That some years ago, we were even smaller. Now we are dealing with between 2,000 and 3,000 churches. So we were smaller then, right? And they said they were pastors. I said, where? And they mentioned a church. And we even have a building there. Because a lot of our churches don't have buildings, but that one had a building. It was a pastor in the church there. And I thought to myself, the guy says that, I'm a pastor of Lighthouse in your name. I'm working in your name. But I said, but I never knew you. I was saying exactly the same words that Jesus was saying, but I never knew. All this year, you've been the church, I never knew you. I don't know you. Because in our church, you become a pastor by doing certain things. I don't have to personally know you to become a pastor. There are a lot of pastors I don't know. I used to prophesy that one day I'll have pastors I don't know. And it has happened. Watch some of the other prophecies, they will also happen. So practically, I saw somebody who was working in my name, doing things on my behalf, because all the sheep at Kokrobite or wherever they were are my sheep. Those are the people that come on Good Friday. Because on Good Friday, we don't do advert publicity. We are not inviting, it's just our church people that we are having a program with. It's not a crusade. They are all my sheep. They all read my books. They are all taught the same messages. All right? But I never knew them. So the point that I want to make is that I don't want to serve without loving you, and I don't want to serve without knowing you. And I want you to decide, I don't want to be in the church without being known and knowing. Because everything seems to hinge around, I never knew you. You know, I wonder how people are able to marry when they say, oh, this is a good sister, marry her, and you don't know her. If somebody says this is a good sister, you are supposed to get to know the person. Like I said, they say you are good. So I'm going to marry you. How can that be? How can you marry a strange woman? The Bible talks about strange woman. And the word is a stranger. In fact, at first I used to think the Bible was only using the word strange woman. But a few verses before, it uses the word in English, stranger. Stranger. And actually the word strange woman is also translated stranger. But in the English, if you find it, you say stranger. I think it's in Proverbs 5 at the beginning, around verse 3, 4. Yeah. How will you embrace the bosom of a stranger? How can you marry a stranger? Also, he's a good brother. He has car keys. He's holding car keys. Car keys, you know, if it means even a car, there are car keys without cars. You are welcome. Amen. Car keys without cars. That is where all the problems come from, because you don't even know the people. So God wants you to know people well. And God himself is saying that he also doesn't accept you if he doesn't know you personally and well. All right? So don't just sit there and say, in my culture, when you see a grown-up, you don't talk. It's not helping you. You get it? It's not helping you. You need to know how to speak to a great person and how to relate. You can't be far and just say, oh, that's my church. My pastor is that man over there in the picture. That's why I have counseling with individuals every week. I want to see you face to face. And pray. If I don't lay my hands on you within the year, something is wrong. So that is why, yes, I have to lay hands on you. You have to have a good spirit. Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. Spirits move around by physical contact. Sex is one of the contacts that brings spirits. Sexual intercourse gives a transfer of spirit. Revelation 18, it says, Babylon is filled with beds, spiritual beds, because of her fornication. So sex brings spirits. Laying on of hands brings spirits. Physical contact, even with the clothes, brings spirits. You must know these realities. So God wants you, all right, to grow up in getting closer. And that's why Jesus granted. When I say Jesus granted, I'm not talking about people that Jesus called. Sometimes he would call them, but he allowed people to come to him and talk to him when they wanted to. And you see, you must know that a lot depends on you. The people I know are the people who want to know me usually, not those who I really, who need to be known. But those who want to be known. People came to see Jesus. So you must join yourself to the people who came to see Jesus Christ by being somebody who presses. In Luke 16, I believe verse 16, it talks about the kingdom of God was from John. All right? Until John. The law and the prophets until John. All right? Since that time. All right? That is since John. The kingdom of God is preached. And every man presseth into it. It doesn't come to you. You have to press. You have to push. You have to press. If you don't press, you get nothing. All the miracles in the Bible got to people who pressed. Blind Bartimaeus screamed, have mercy on me. I'm here. I'm here. Every man presseth into it. So you sit down and say, oh, me, I'm here. I'm from Lagos. I'm from here. I'm from here. No. Every man presses into. You have to press. Press. And don't tell me you don't press. People, when people want boyfriends, you see them doing things. You see them doing all kinds of things. Dress in a way. Look in a funny way. Dress in a funny way. And you are making moves. I want to be noticed. I want them to see me. When he was preaching, his eye fell on me. I know his eye will fall on me again. People are like that. They come to church. Some girls even come to church and sit to open their legs when they are sitting in church. Yes. They sit on the front with short skirt and then open their legs. You think we haven't seen you? They are pressing for bad things. But when it comes to good things, then they become phlegmatic and say, oh, I'm going somewhere after church. When it comes to good things, oh, they haven't called me. When it comes to good things, I don't know which department in church to be in. When it comes to good things, I don't know where they meet. When it comes to good things, I don't know how to join. When it comes to good things, I don't know where they are. Everything you don't know when it comes to the good things. But when it came to the bad things, you know how to wear a short skirt and come and open your legs. Without panties, you are sitting in church. Ask the nearest sister, is that what you have been doing? All right, sit down. So today, I want you to remember this verse, Luke 16:16. The law and prophets are until John. But since that time, since the time of John, the kingdom is preached and then everybody presses into the kingdom. You have to press hard to come into God. If you sit there thinking that things will just be thrown to you, you are joking. Hallelujah. Nothing will be handed over to you. Now, the private interviews of Christ. The first one is very significant. John chapter 3 from verse 1. I'm going to try to go through some of them quickly. Don't worry about the heat. We are getting to March. During church, you can lose weight even. Right? So small sweating will not harm you. All right? There was a man of the Pharisees, all right, named Nicodemus. And the same came to see Jesus by night. And Jesus answered him. He said, nobody can do these miracles. Jesus accepted to see him. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again. Now, Jesus told this man some of the most important things. And one of them is that, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean, except a man is born again? It means that being in the choir is different from being born again. You can be in the choir, but you are not born again. Being in the church is different from being born again. Being a good person is not the same as being born again. He didn't say unless a man is a good person. Being a school prefect is not the same as being born again. He said except a man is a school prefect, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, being a member of parliament is not the same as being born again. They may call you honorable on earth, but God knows how honorable or dishonorable you are. It's not the same. Don't equate being born again. Being born again is not the same as being a member of Lighthouse. No, no, no. You may be a member, but you are not born again. It's not the same as being a Methodist. You can be a Methodist, but you are not born again. This is what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. Being born again is not the same as playing instruments in church. Being born again is not the same as looking nice and sitting in church on Sunday morning. It's not that he was explaining to Nicodemus that being born again is a different and very unique experience. It's not the same as having a pastor, a father who is a pastor. Your father can be a pastor, but you are not born again. And you will go to hell, even though you are a pastor's child. He was explaining to this man that being born again is completely different from any other thing that you are experiencing. And you need to be born again. You see, I was in a church, but I was not born again. I was in a church, but I was not born again. You can be in a church, you are not. It's like standing in a garage and saying, I'm a BMW. If I stand and I say, I am a BMW, has it made me a BMW? So when you stand in church and you say, I am a Christian or I'm born again, it doesn't make you born again. Ghana is full of religious people. Rarely do you get people who have no regard for God. But many of them are not born again. Yeah, when you are born again, it shows. Yes, most of our politicians are religious. They go to one church or another, most of them. Even some of them go to charismatic churches. But you hear them telling lies on the television. You hear them. When I got born again, I knew that born again Christian doesn't tell lies, doesn't commit fornication, doesn't steal, doesn't deceive, doesn't cheat in exams. That's what it. When you are born, you see, when you are new, you have a new life. You have a new life. So I'm telling you, being born again is a specific experience. When you are born, you know you are born. Then you start to celebrate. You even celebrate it. Today is Bishop Saki's birthday. He's celebrating. Today is the day that he was born into this world. This is the day that he was born into the world. And he started a new life. For those who believe you were a monkey or you were a lizard or something before and you've come back and so on, to be born, it's like it, that one even helps you to understand it better, because before you were a lizard and now you are a human being. So it's like you are having a new life from now onwards. So being born again is the beginning of a new life. I was in the church. I was baptized and confirmed. Being born again is not the same as being baptized. I was baptized as a child. I was confirmed in Achimota school. I think it was about from 2 or from 3. Confirmed to hell. I was not a Christian. I had confirmation. My mother brought food, minerals, many things. I don't know if you have been confirmed before. I don't even know what it was about. You were white. I did everything. I was confirmed, but I was not born again. Singing hymns is not the same as being born again. I used to go to church every Sunday and they would sing hymns. I didn't even know. My favorite priest was the one who says we sing the first and last stanza, because it means it will be faster. Those priests who never say we are singing the first and the last, I hated them, because they would let us sing 8 verses with the chorus. Eish, it was too long. That's why now I don't know hymns. Yeah. It reminds me of religiosity without God. Being religious without knowing God. It reminds me of the deception that I had when I used to go to church, but I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. I got to know Jesus and I became born again and a new person. Even my mother, whom I didn't go and tell, do you know that I'm born again? My mother told somebody that if anyone is born again, Doug is born again. I can see, I don't know what a change has come over him. Yes. And the friends I used to have, I have them no more. And the things I used to do, I do them no more. And the places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. It's not just a song. It's what I've experienced practically. You can't say you are born again with the same old life. You can't say you are born again because you are singing hymns. You can't say you are born again because you are in a church standing here. Doesn't mean you are born again. And Jesus said, if you are not born again, you will not go to heaven. I mean, that's serious. You can't come around and just act religious when there's no change in your life. You don't give your heart and your life to God. You are joking with God. God is not a fool. You know, I know at least 2 pastors who died and went down into hell. The first one is Kenneth Hagin. Look, when he was descending, he started, but I'm a Methodist. I'm a Christian. I'm in a church. But he went down to hell. Because he was not born again. Yes. And the second one is a pastor. If you see me in a private interview, I'll tell you who it was. Who it is. Because the person is around. It was in tech. When he died, I think he was very sick. He died on the upstairs. In his host, in the, you know, tech had this high. He came down, went to the ground, and went down into the ground, down to hell. He said to me personally, he said, look, there is nothing more terrifying than that thing that happened to me. And he was not a Christian. He said, if anyone had met me after that, because he went down, straight down into hell. He said it was dark and it was cold, but he was also a Methodist. His father take him to church every Sunday. They sit in front. They have a place. They know the hymns. His school is the same. This type of Methodist schools. But he went down to hell before he was born again. Later. Being born again is not the same as going to a Methodist school. No, it's not the same as having hymns to sing. No. It's not the same as being religious and singing songs in church. There is a total change in your life. I tell you. And Jesus told Nicodemus, look, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, period. You may be the president of Ghana. If President Mills was not born again, he's in hell right now screaming. If President Reagan is not born again, he's in hell screaming. Anybody you know, mention the Margaret Thatcher. No matter what good things you did, this is what Jesus is saying. Except a man is born again. He cannot. You can't come and sit around playing religion. You are a thief. You are a liar. There is no change in your life. To be born again is to be totally transformed. Me, I like musical. Before I got saved, I liked music. And I still like music. After I have a lot of music. If you like music, it's a good place to be. From the day that I got born again, every worldly music was out of my life. I can't even bear the spirit. Me, I don't even listen, not even the word, because before even the words, the spirit, you can see that the spirit is. Even Christian songs, you see the spirit is. They are not serious Christians who are, or they are unbelievers who are posing as Christians. So, You better take seriously. The most serious things are spoken of when you come close. Things that cannot be told you in public. If you get an interview, you'll be shocked. at what you hear. And Nicodemus said, how can I go to my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, you marvel not. Eh? Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. All right? Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised. Then Jesus said to him in verse 10, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You see, you may be a master of the church. Because Israel was like the church, God's work, God's place, Israel. You are a master and you don't know to be born again. One day I had a wedding. One of my church members got married. He was my friend and my mate also. When I finished preaching, I preach about, every wedding I preach, you should be born again. I tell you, a man came to see me after and told me, he said, let's come. I came because he's, you know, that's my classmate getting married. So the fathers, all it was like our fathers and grandfathers, these were the people at the wedding. It was a Ghana wedding. It was Gans. Gans and Ashantis, but they were Gans were dominant. He called me after, said, come here. So I went. And he said, let me tell you something, young man. Number one, I am an Anglican. And I will never change. Number two, I am not born again and I will never be born again. According to what you believe, I will never be born again. And number three, I will never change. I said, yes, sir. Yeah. Art thou a master? Art thou a master and knoweth not these things? Many religious people singing hymns. And hymns, they get stuck in you. When you know how to sing them, you say, my wife, she can sing from morning to evening hymns. I don't even know what she's singing. One after the other. She knows every hymn in the book because she learned it in school. So she sings with meaning. But I don't know the meaning of what she's singing because I don't know those songs. Yeah. Thou a master. I am an Anglican. I will never be born again. I am an Anglican. I will never change. And I will never be born again. That's what he told me. 10 years later, I think it was 10 or 20 years later. 10 years, I think. 20 years later. This same man came. He was even older. At that time, he was like 70. This time, he was 80, getting to 90. And he was sitting there again. It was another wedding. And I told Bishop Saki, I'll never be born again. He's here today. Oh. And I preached powerfully that you have to be born again. And I said, if you want to be born again, lift up your hand. And I'll never be born again. Lifted up his hand. I want to be born again. He's dead now. He's dead. He died. Yes. I pray he's in heaven. Because Jesus said, except a man is born again. Yes. Anytime I've had a private interview with whatever, I try to lead them to Christ. Presidents. Or I say this after me. Say these words after me. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Forgive me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Wash me. With the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let us continue. This private interview can last us forever. Then, verse 12, if I have told you earthly things you believe not, how shall you believe I tell you heavenly things? Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. This is all private. Talking. The greatest things are told to you privately. For God so loved the world. It's a private discussion. Personal meeting. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17. These are the words of Jesus Christ to Nicodemus, not in a sermon. That is why when you make yourself far, you miss the most important. That's why when Jesus says, I never knew you. Say, your name what? I said, I don't know you. That's the basis for your rejection. Because it is the coming closer you get the real thing. The far you get the general things. It's the close and you get the real things. When you are close, you get the real. Yeah. You know, when I go to the other interviews, you know, that's when they ask Jesus, is it right to divorce? If this one marries, what should you do? That's where the real issues are. It was all personal talking, yeah. The other ones is general. General. One day I took somebody who works for me, I took the person somewhere. When we got, the person was surprised. I said, you see, you don't know me. Unless I bring you close, unless I move the curtain, you will never know. You never know me. It's true. That's where the real jewel is. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever, including you and me, believes in him, will not go to hell, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And I like verse 17. It's, I don't know, my second favorite. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send to condemn you. You are not condemned. There are a lot of cases on you. There are a lot of issues on you. But you are not condemned. How many know that there are a lot of issues on your case? A lot of written things. Hey! A lot of evidence. A lot of mistakes. Look at your age. Already so many mistakes. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the good news for you is that you are not condemned. No matter what you have done, you are not condemned. Condemned means they have declared your case. Yes. You know, some years ago, Bishop Saki and my wife were the lawyers in court defending a certain murderer. I mean, he had killed somebody. He said it was an accident. So they were defending him. Every day they went to court, they came back. It was my father's case. But every day they went to court, they came back. They would tell me what has happened. And the man was free. I mean, he was going and coming to court. I think he was in prison, but he was coming and going. But he was not condemned. He was not condemned. Every day he was trying, working. They were working on the case. Till one particular day. Then they told me, we are going for the judgment. So it took a long time until the day of the judgment. And at the judgment time, my father traveled. So Bishop Saki had to go and give the last speech. Have you seen the films when the lawyer stands up and he takes a piece of paper, he tears it, and that's what he was doing. Bishop Saki went and gave the dramatic speech to try to save the man's life. Hey! So he stood up and he spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. And then the other people also spoke. And then the judge gave his judgment. And when the judge gave his judgment, the man was found guilty. And he was condemned. They stood up and they licked the hood and they sang a song, said that you are condemned to hang. So from that day onwards, he was condemned. But before then, he was not condemned. Do you understand? Like there were cases on him. There were issues that he was not condemned. Till the day that the judgment was, that's the day that he was condemned. So now you are not condemned. Even though there's enough to take you to hell. But God has sent his son. And his son has come to shed his blood. And the blood is in exchange for your mistakes and your life. And if you receive it, you will never be condemned. Even now, you are not condemned. But if you reject the blood of Jesus, you are moving straight into condemnation. So anyone who does not receive Jesus Christ gets condemned. Finally, when you die, when they see you in heaven, they say, you didn't know Jesus. You didn't know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. I remember one exam we did in medical school. One of my friends, he had, I think, 51 or 49, 50%, around 50%. But the rest of us had 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 98, 99, 100, surgery. So the professor called him. He was my friend. And he asked him, he said, come. You don't have the questions? You didn't see the questions? The questions are there. You don't see questions? How do you get 52%? You didn't see. It's like you didn't see the blood and you came. You didn't see the blood, you came here. You didn't see the blood and you died. What will save you? Because you are supposed to see the magic. We call it magic. You are supposed to see, not the question of the paper, but past questions. You are supposed to see them and use them. He called him. They called him to the professor's room. Said, you didn't see the questions. The questions are there. Because I think they just lifted the 1992 something. They brought it and put it there. I don't know which year it was. No, 92, I finished. They brought it, just put it there. Changed the date and it was there. You didn't see. So you've lived your life. You died. You didn't see blood of Jesus. You never attended any crusade. You never gave your life to Jesus. You never came to church. You were never born again and you've come. Sorry. We are now condemned. So God sent not his son to condemn the world. You will never be condemned. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, another private interview that I want us to look at is a private interview granted Mary and Martha. Luke 10, 38. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her to help me with the serving. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Here, we also see a private time where you hear wonderful things. You see, Martha was cumbered about so much serving. Yes. It is good to serve. It is good to serve. But when serving is placed side by side with something far more valuable, then the serving has become a negative thing. It is good that you are serving. We like it. Martha. We like it. The cake. The food. Jesus, I'm sure, will eat it. The food. But Mary has chosen something good that will not be taken away from her. What did she choose? Number one, she chose to be close to Jesus and to sit at his feet. She sat at his feet. You can never exchange ushering in church to sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, Asha, please, we need it. You can never exchange helping in the car park to sitting at Jesus' feet. You can never exchange serving tables and doing any activity in the house of God. Exchange it better from sitting at the feet of Jesus in his presence. You see, it's not that we know that Jesus is God. Ha! God. God has come. And you are going to cook for God. You are going to cook for God. You are going to bring drinks to God. Meanwhile, God knows that the drink you are serving is not even cold because you have not invented fridges at that time. And he knows that people are going to be serving with ice block, ice cubes, and nice. I mean, what you are serving is nothing. So number one, she chose to be close. Any job that makes you far can never be exchanged for a job that makes you close. Yes. Yes. And you must be careful of people that people are close to, because people who are important, even when somebody works for them closely, and the person is not important in your eyes, the person is important to that person in a way that will surprise you. Even Saddam Hussein, he had a servant, you know, a valet. He had somebody who was working for him. He was not an important person. And one day, his son, Uday, got angry at a party and took a metal stick and beat him and killed him at the party in front of everybody. Saddam Hussein put his own son in prison and almost killed him. A very wicked man who, I mean, he killed all people around him. He killed people around him easily. He almost killed his son. Almost. If he put him in prison, but he almost killed him. And I'm sure you remember when Saddam Hussein's sons were killed. You have to be careful. I think he was somebody who serves Saddam Hussein all the time. He was with him or just serving him. I don't know what exactly he was doing. Yeah. You have to be careful. You see, Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part of me. The good part of me, my existence, is being close. Yes. Being close to God cannot be substituted for giving money to God. You may give money to God, but you are not close to God. Number two, she chose the word to listen to the word. Jesus was talking to her while this one was serving. Jesus was talking to her. He was sharing things. This is the type of things. Maybe he also told her you must be born again and other important messages, which, I mean, others have never heard about. Most important. Most important. Being close and somebody saying something close to you, I tell you, you can never substitute it for something. You know, if it's not as you are going to get married and somebody is looking at you, they will not say a word to you. I know somebody who got married. The brothers were feeling sorry for the guy as he was going. The brothers were feeling sorry for the guy as he was doing the wedding. God, they knew their sister. You are doomed. And truly he's doomed. They knew their sister. But nobody would tell you. Yes. Just one personal word. One personal word. But who should open his mouth and tell you? You are not close. When you come close and they say something, before you realize, you go and turn it around. One day I told somebody, you know, be careful, this person they are going to. He went and told the person. Bishop says, I shouldn't marry you. He says, you are like this and that. So from there, you realize and you learn as a pastor to be quiet, and very few people deserve your private discussions. The rest of them will just be hearing general things. Yeah. The one word you say, the person will go and make you funny. Yeah. So as for Mary, she chose. And then the only advice I'll give to Martha is that you should have prepared before. You should have prepared. This is not the time. I mean, are you using the precious moment Jesus is there? You are now frying things. You are now catching and killing a chicken. You are now, going up and down, up and down. You have not understood how to work. It's called sprezzatura. You do difficult things and complex things, but with ease. And people don't realize the preparation that has gone into it. So the word and closeness, that's the best. You want to know, like if I take Benny Hinn, what is the best part of Benny Hinn? The best part is to hear the word, which I have plenty. More, I have ones people don't have. Yeah. I have him in his young age. I have him before he was married even. Yeah, that's the best part. The best part of a person is the words. He was talking to her. The best part of me is not my money. If I give you money, it will get finished. The best part of me is what I'm saying. If you have patience to listen, and you have time to read, and you have time to hear, that's the best part of me. People invite me all over the world to come and speak words. Those are the only reason they don't look at my face. They don't ask me for my medical degree. They don't ask me for anything. They just speak words to us. Speak on Saturday. Speak on Sunday, please. Speak on Monday. All of us are gathered. Talk to us. Speak words. That's the good part of a person. So many times you think that, you have to shake hands with a person. Or you have to, do certain things. The best part is the word that he was sharing. You have chosen to do so many things apart from the word. That's dangerous. Don't miss the best part. Don't miss the best part. Don't miss the best part. The best part. People don't know the best part. If you have an estate of houses, there's always the best house. Did you know that? Yes, there are houses, the best houses are the houses that can see good things. Like where we just came from, where the Kadesh is, there are some houses up on a hill. You can see the lake. Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. You see, that's the best. Those are the best. But people don't know what's the best. You didn't know, isn't it?
I didn't know this.
Yes. The view. And then there are some houses that are under electric pole, like high tension. Or by it, with radiation, cancer generating radiations coming out. That's the worst part. So when you are choosing a house among the houses, you have to choose the best, and you have to know what is the best. So among the many things that your pastor can give, or do the best things. I'm telling you, the best, like Ken Hagen, the best. I took a picture with him. I shook hands with him. But he never prayed for me. He said, I don't pray for people if I'm not under the anointing. So no, sorry, I don't. I said, please, can you pray for me? He said, no, I don't. I'm not under the anointing. I can't pray. But I got the best part. Yes, I sit at his feet. I use technology to sit at his feet. I use technology to be with him and to know him personally and closely. Yeah. The good part. Make sure you get the good part of any man of God. What is a photograph? What can it do for you? You have a picture, you don't have a picture. It's not going to change your life. Thank God if you have a picture, it's nice. But you may have a picture, but it will be nothing. There's a man called Uncle James. Years ago, he used to sit at the back of the SUV, park his car outside. When we finished, he'll be there. He'll talk to the young ones. I never had a chance to take a picture with him before he died. But I got the best part. I used to go to his house. He taught me physics for A-level. He was a teacher as well as an engineer. He used to teach me physics. But I sit with him. Then he would talk. As we do the physics, then he would start talking. Yeah, he taught me about churches, church growth. He showed me this is the biggest church because it has many branches. It's like our church. Our church is not here. Our church is many places. More than 100,000 people. We have thousands. He showed me this is the biggest church. He showed me about lay people. He taught me church growth. One day we're doing physics, that he drew a graph of the growth of chickens in a farm. That's the graph that's in mega church. He showed me the graph. I got the best part of him. I got the best part out of him. Mary has chosen the good part. You've chosen just to be around. That's why when I come to church and I see people standing outside, I wonder, what are these people doing? What are you doing outside? Oh, look, ashes. I say, Asher, you can easily backslide. Ashes are prone to backsliding because they don't get the best part. They'll be moving around. When the best part is coming on, they are not there. Singing is not the best part of church. It's the word. That's the best part of the church. That's why now, thank God for podcast. Free is coming to you. Free word. Free word. Free word. That's for me, the best. It will make you rich because we are blessed. We are rich. We are standing without owing. I just saw the Kadesh. They finished putting on the roof. Fantastic. Huge. Mega. Oh. The best part will teach you how to be prosperous. Genuine, not this fake prosperity we are seeing. All fake. Fake riches with nothing. Empty shells. Egg without yolk. Tell your neighbor, I'm tired of eating eggs without yolk. I want something real. Are you still there or you are leaving? And the last private interview for today is the interview with the Syrophoenician woman. Mark 7:24. Mark 7:24. From thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house trying to hide and would have no man know it. He didn't want anybody to know that he was there. But he could not be hid. He could not be what? Hid. Why? Because the next verse starts with four. Because. You see, the kingdom of God is preached until John. But from John, every man presses. A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. She came and did what? Fell at his feet. That's why there are some people, it's useless to counsel them. Because they don't fall at your feet in that sense. They are just want you to talk like a parrot. Verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. Greeks are those whose names start with, they end with Canapolos, Lopopolos, Dopolos. There was one in Tintin, says Rastapopoulos, the Greeks. That's when your name starts. So this woman was something populous. And she besought him. She was begging him. That he will cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Today, it takes you a long time to see that there is a devil at work. When it is obvious. Without x-ray, you can see it's a devil. Straight away, it's a demon. Whatever devil is in you is coming out today in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, but Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled. It is not right for me to take the meat To take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I think Jesus was very tired, you know, because he was trying to hide. He has never spoken to anybody like this before. Yeah, he never used such a, because you have to be careful when you use certain illustrations. People who don't understand English will think you are insulting them. Yes. We are not insulting them. You are just giving an illustration. But they take it as an insult. And Jesus was not insulting himself when he said, I'll come like a thief in the night. He was not saying that I'm like a thief. I'm a thief. Neither was he insulting himself when he said that as a serpent is hung up, so the Son of Man shall be hung, in John 3. He was not insulting himself. But there are many people, when they don't understand English. When you give an illustration, they say, are you insulting? Are you calling me a dog? They're calling me a dog. Yeah. It's because of their lack of understanding. Yeah. One day, one of my friends, he was doing a dumb broadcast. And somebody came out to try to stop her from preaching. And she turned to him and said, don't be silly. And the man said, are you insulting me? He said, no, I'm advising you. I'm advising you. Don't be silly. Yes. Don't be silly. Anyway, back to Jesus and the dogs. So Jesus said, it is not right for me to cast my children's food to dogs, Alsatians and bulldogs, like you. He didn't say like you. I'm adding like you. And she answered, an illustration. It's not an insult. A new bluff. And then she answered and said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table, they eat the children's bread. In other words, she had a reply. A reply for Jesus' reply. And it was a humble reply. She was never offended. This is where you learn humility from this private interview. You see, you must have the heart of someone who cannot be offended. That's all. I can't be offended. Nothing can offend me. There are some people, I tell you, you are so sensitive, it's going to be difficult to marry you. If you ask them to video and you come to them and you say, move, they are offended. Or let's say maybe I'm preaching and I give an illustration. I said, the instrumentalist. And I wave my hand. He waves his hand at us. When he's talking, he just wave at us. He doesn't respect us. Because Danny Boy is there, he doesn't respect us. What you should have said, if you feel that I don't respect you and I wave my hand and I say those instrumentalists, then you see that even those instrumentalists who are nothing are also receiving blessings. That's what you should say. That's all. End of quarrel. You're receiving blessings. Or maybe you practice in the choir and they don't allow you to sing. You practice and practice and practice and practice for 6 hours. And when you came, no singing today. Or you practice your dancing stars. And when you came, no dancing today. No dancing tomorrow. No dancing. Today you are healed from being easily hurt. How many want to marry somebody who is easily hurt? When you wake up in the night and you had a dream, or in the morning you had a dream, we woke up, your mind is on your dream. The person will say, you didn't say good morning. You didn't touch me before you got out of bed. You didn't smile at me. Your smile was very small. It wasn't broad. Hey! Watch out for people. You don't know what to say. You know, there are some people, when you see them, even singers, some singers, when they even sing for you, after she's finished singing, you have to say, Shawanda, thank you for your song. Shawanda, God bless you. Shawanda, we are so happy with you. If we don't virtually praise you, you'll be offended. Virtually, we have to praise you for the small thing that you've done in the church. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your song. Thank you for that. So God bless you. Receive Psalm 28, Psalm 15, Psalm 98. Hey, you are too easily offended. You cannot, nobody can live with you nicely. I'm telling you, take it from me. You see, when you come to church, you receive, although this is the topic, it's so many things coming. This woman, you call her dog. She said, I am Mrs. Dog, but you know Jesus. Please, on a more serious note, I really need my healing for my daughter. Nothing could offend her. Nothing could move her. I like such people. There are people who sometimes wait for me all day. They wait all day and night. I can't have a chance to even talk to them. I see that the next week they are back there. They say, oh, I should just wave at them. They are happy with the wave. Such people are the ones who receive great blessings. But there are those, I tell you, you have to make sure. Madam, thank you. Good morning. Good evening. It's the time I gave you to come at 2:45. I'm sorry it's 2:46. Please forgive me for being 1 minute late. Are you a dentist or what are you? Tell your neighbor, I cannot be offended by anything that is said or done. Amen or not?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So listen, continue please. Next verse. Listen to Jesus. And Jesus said to her, for this sake, like the way you spoke. That's why I say to people, watch how you speak, even privately. When you speak in a certain way privately, Jesus sees it. Hears the certain comments you make, it can change your life. You shouldn't say that. Yes. That's for this man. Our man, you know. This saying. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said in her heart, if I touch. You are always saying something. And some of you, you sit in the church saying to yourself. Saying to yourself. Saying to your neighbor. Hey. Miriam told Moses, why should he marry that woman? You don't like whom I've married. Huh? You don't like whom I've married. A lot of people don't like whom somebody marries. So then they describe, so the wife, you know, the wife. It's the wife. It's the wife who is causing all this. The wife. The madam. That's how they describe. The wife. It's the wife. It's the wife. You have to watch the wife. It's the wife. It's not him. It's the wife. It's the wife. That's what they said about Moses' wife. It's the wife. It's the wife. She's the cause of all our problems. The anointing is lowering on Moses because of the wife. Watch out what you say. Oh, watch out what you say. When you say good things, I tell you, things turn in your favor. And watch out when it seems you are down. You are down. You are down. And they didn't treat you well. Don't let it get to you. Flow. It's so nice to have somebody who is easygoing. Nothing really offends the person. It's flowing. There are some people, if they come to church, I have to apologize. Please, we are sorry for the heat. We are sorry for there's no air conditioner. We are sorry for the time. We are sorry for lateness. We are sorry for the light. We are sorry for the sound. We are sorry. Ask your neighbor, are you one of these people? Where are those people, by the way? Where are those people? Where are they? At the back. Are those the guys at the back? They are the guys on the left. On the right. They just moved out. They just went out. They didn't come today. I hear they didn't come today. Yeah. Watch out. When you attend somebody's wedding and you sit in the congregation and you say, she's not even nice. Who said that? She's not even nice. Her dress is not nice. She's fat. She's slim. She's thin. She's ugly. Shut up and start praying for yourself. And stop making negative comments about somebody's bride. You have not been chosen. Somebody has been chosen. What is your problem? For this you're saying, watch what you say. And especially if a man of God offends you, watch what you say. I've been offended by men of God many times. I always tell myself, watch out. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. Sometimes when something happens, I say, I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it. That's what the woman would say. I am a dog. I deserve, I'm actually confirmed as a dog. So, as a dog, can I please get healing as a dog? Dog healing. Can I get some dog healing? And Jesus said, the way you spoke has really touched me. God is the one, and I can see Jesus here. Yeah, tonight I'll tell you a story. Ish, I'll not tell you now. So anybody who was near Jesus that day really learned a lot by just watching this woman again. Yes. Don't be surprised if women get closer to pastors. They talk more. Sometimes they press more. And the pastor is there. Whoever presses. The woman, the issue of blood came pressing. People press. 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 I see you pressing. I see you pressing. Yes, no one will ever be able to say about you, I never knew you. I don't know you. I don't know you. No. No. Be close. It's a blessing. Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou causest to approach unto thee. It's a blessing to be allowed to come close. Amen. Don't trifle with it. Don't joke with it. That he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. You know, one day somebody had a job. Two jobs. One job was going to give the person more money. And one job was going to make the person closer to the boss. I told the person, take the job that will make you closer to the boss and leave the money. Leave the money and be closer. Yeah. Which one is more important? I'm sure Martha will get more money for going around and carrying the food, serving, caterer, this and that. Mary wasn't getting so much. She had chosen the good part. Always choose the right job if you ever have an opportunity. Choose the right job. Choose the right. Don't trifle. I've had people don't trifle with being close to me. But close to me, they took it for granted. When they lost it, it's very difficult to. It's difficult to climb up a mountain when you've already climbed up and gone down, coming up. Not a small journey. It's a journey. It's a long journey. One day I had a gentleman. He was close to me. Very close. Could come to my house. Could come to my house. Talk, bring. I don't meet him in anywhere else. Come, middle day, night. Then he joked with that. You know, years went by. Sometimes he would come. I want to give this offering. I want to do this. It was like it was like laying hands on stone. Difficult. He was never able to establish relationship until demons took over his life. Yes. Don't joke with the opportunity to be close. Don't say, I'm comfortable where I am. I'm way far away. No. You don't know LP Lulu. You don't know LP Cadella Vivaldi. You know all the lady pastors and the other pastors we have. You don't know anybody. Nobody knows you. You are just a photograph. Tell your neighbor, I think it's because of you he's preaching this way. I think you are the cause of this preaching. You know, I always seek to be known. Know me. Yes. Know me. In the greatest man of God who I admire and I follow, I want him to know me. Yes. The first time I met Benny Hinn, I told him when I saw him. Then after I met him again, then I could see that he couldn't remember. I told him, you don't have to remember my name, but my name is Doug. He said, oh, I know you. Even yesterday, they sent me a message. So I was even asking whether he would come to church tonight. Yeah. No, he's not coming. But I said, I mean, I can ask. Yes. And I asked. But every man presseth into it. Yeah. Some of you are too far. Bonky knows me. He knows me personally. Yes. One time I was talking with him. I know you, but one time I was with him, you know, he was struggling to stand. And he looked, but you are a doctor, you understand all this. He knows me. Fred Price knows me. Yeah. I will make you know me. You have to know me. I need you to know. I can't exist without being known. Hey! I don't accept to be a number or a chair or a picture. I don't accept it. All of them, and once you, I admire, I follow you, you must know me. Yes. When Bishop Oyedepo came, I was with him throughout. I didn't intend that. I was with him. I was with him in his car. I was sitting by him on stage. I was with him in his hotel. Hey, pressing. Don't stay there and be giving excuses. If they want me, they will call for me. He said, depressive. You are depressed. That's why you are. It's depression that is making you think that way. When they need me, they will call me. Tell your friend you are healed of depression today in Jesus' name. How many are going to draw closer? Draw me closer. Draw me closer. Stand to your feet. Draw me closer. Draw me closer. Draw me closer. Draw me from fear
into your faithfulness. Lead me along your way. Draw me from sin into your holiness, that I may be a living praise. Draw me deeper
into your word of truth.
Draw me deeper.
Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper
into your love for me.
Draw me deeper.
Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper to the place where you are.
Draw me deeper.
Draw me deeper and deeper that I may know your heart.
How many know that you don't know somebody's heart till you draw deeper? Let's sing it again. Draw me deeper.
So draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your word of truth. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper
into your love,
into your love for me.
Draw me deeper.
Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper
to the place where you are.
To the place where you are.
Draw me deeper
and deeper that I may know your heart.
Let's sing again. again for the last time. Draw me.
Draw me deeper.
Lord, deeper. Can you sing it?
To your word of truth.
Everybody sing it.
Draw me deeper. Lord, deeper.
Into your love.
Into your love for me.
Pause. How many know that when you get closer, you get nearer the person's love for you? Yes. All the love God has for you is by getting close to the shepherd. It's when you are close to the shepherd that he can take oil and start wrapping, wrapping. You'll never be wrapped when you are one of the sheep 2,000 kilometers away. Never, never. Draw me deeper into your love for me. It's when you get close that you even find that there is love for you. When you get closer, you will find there's a word of truth for you. When you get closer, you find the place where the person is. And when you draw deeper, know the person's heart, which you will never know really. You can't know from the outside. Let's sing it for the last time.
Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your word of truth. Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper
into your love, into your love,
into your love for me.
Draw me deeper,
draw me deeper,
Lord, deeper to the place where you are. Draw me deeper.
Draw me deeper and deeper.
Let me know your heart.
That I may know your heart.
I think you should change the key. It's too low. Change it. Let's all sing. I want you to sing without us singing. I want to see that you are singing. Let it be a prayer from you to God today. All right? Do you want to pray to God? So let's pray. We are praying this prayer to the Lord. Ready, go.
Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper into your word of truth.
Everybody sing it.
Draw me deeper, Lord, deeper
into your love.
To your love for me.
Again, sing it.
Draw me deeper,
Lord, deeper
to the place where you are.
Draw me deeper.
Draw me deeper.
Listen, do you know that when you are far and you hear the message on loyalty, the only feeling you have from far is strictness. Person is strict, stern, no nonsense, no rubbish. But when you draw nearer, you find that it's actually a message of love. Yeah, but from far it sounds like a message of anger or strictness. But when you come nearer, you find it's love, 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 love. People who listen from far, they say, "Hey, this man is wicked," or people are afraid in the church. When you come closer, you find everybody is free. And people are happy rather to be in the church. And you are even wondering, why are you so happy here? What are they? What do they do for you? And you find out there is what? Minshew in the church. Let's sing it for the last time.
Draw me deeper,
or deeper.
Into your word of truth, draw me deeper, deeper into your love for me.
Come on,
draw me deeper, deeper
to
the place where you are.
Draw
me deeper and deeper.
Let me know your heart.
That I may know your heart.
Sing it for the very last time, everybody.
Draw me deeper, deeper.
Father, thank you for drawing us closer, closer. From being far, we are coming close. Thank you for calling us to come from the distant fringes and to come in closer and sit at the feet of Jesus and take the good part of you. Thank you for the humility that is necessary when we come closer. Thank you that we shall never be offended. We have learned from the Syrophoenician woman that we should never be offended. Thank you for the many rebukes that you hear when you are close, that you never hear when you are far. We thank you. Bless us, Lord. And let every far person today be permanently converted into a near, good, close sheep and person. Thank you for your blessing. I pray for all the members and the pastors everywhere that you draw us closer to you and to your love, that we may know your great and true heart for us. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And as every head is bowed, please, for a moment, and every eye closed, if you are here today, you want to say, Pastor, I want to draw close to God. I'm far from God. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Maybe somebody invited you to church. I don't know. But maybe today is the first time. Maybe it's the second time. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you before we close. God bless you. Just lift it up high. Maybe you were invited here. Maybe you are from campus. Maybe you are from town. You are from wherever. You want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. Please pray with me. If you are here like that, lift. Okay, I see your hand. I see your hand. So many hands are lifted everywhere in this place. God bless you. If you have lifted upstairs, wherever you are, if you've lifted your hand, come very quickly to where I am standing. Come to me here. Come. Come from where you are standing. Come. Come. I want to pray for you now over here. Come from the back. Come from the side. Pastor, I want to draw close to God. I want Jesus to be in my heart. Come. And stand here. I want to pray with you. Come on. From the back. From the side. Anywhere you are. Come nearer. God bless you. Come unto Jesus.
Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus.
Give him your life today. Give him your life today. Give him your heart today. Your hands up. Now, if you are here today, you are a Christian, but not a good Christian. Like, you know, like maybe I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian or a real Christian. And you want to join this. Quickly come. If you are here, you want to say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but not a serious Christian. Lift your hand also. Lift your hand if you are in the congregation. I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. And join. Come quickly and join us in front here. We are closing with this. We are closing. God bless you. I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. Come. And I want to be a good Christian from today. Wow. Wow.
Give him your life.
Give him your life.
Give him.
Draw me nearer, Jesus. Draw me nearer, Jesus.
Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus.
Way. Now, lift your hands, all of you who came to them, and say, and everybody should also join, say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I am sorry for all my mistakes. From today, I give my heart and my life to God. Oh, Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. Today, I open my heart. I open my heart. Say, I open my heart. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, lift your hand like this. Point to the finger like this. Close your eyes. Say after me, Satan.
Satan.
Listen carefully. In the name of Jesus, from today, I will not serve you again. I will not follow you again. I belong to Jesus Christ. I will serve Jesus Christ. Now lift your two hands like this. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. I love you. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Hallelujah. Now, before you go back to your seat, I'm going to give you a special gift. It's one of my books. It costs 40 CDs, but I'm giving it to you free of charge as a special gift. Amen. Please, don't use it to smoke weed. Don't use it as toilet paper. Don't use it to buy groundnuts. Use it to receive the good thing, the word of God. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? Are you blessed today? Now, when we close, this is what you are doing. That, how many of you in the church, you came forward and gave your life to Jesus once? Turn around and look. Many of the people, that's how they started. They lifted their hand like you. They walked to the front. They prayed. They gave their life to Jesus. They are all standing there. So your life is changing from today. Amen. Your life is what? Changing from today. Changing forever. You'll never be the same again. This is the beginning of a new life. From this moment, you are born again. Now, when we close, where those choristers are, lift your hand, that section there. When we close, all of you, go there. I myself will come to pray for you finally before you leave. If I don't come, don't go. When they are telling you, say, once I don't see the man who preached, I cannot leave this place because he told me to wait for him. So I will be there. You have to wait for me. I'm coming right there. As soon as we close, come there. Will you be there? Is Satan leading you or God is leading you? It is too soon for Satan to take over. You have just sacked him from your life. Satan cannot take over. So when we close, make sure you are over there. God is going to bless you. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. Now, it's time for communion. Take your seat for a moment. As we sing our song, we get ready to receive the body and the blood of Jesus. It takes exactly 2 minutes.
Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever. Sons.
To your feet. John 6:53. What does it say? John 6:53. Thank you, Jesus. It says, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Hey, this is serious. So, even though you are alive, you have no life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. And that word eternal life is Zoe, which means life in all types and forms of life. Verse 55, the famous verse. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is a drink. In other words, my flesh is a meal, and my blood is a drink. Don't try to understand it. Try to believe it. Even your course you are doing, you didn't understand most of the things. So try to believe rather than understand it. Jesus, and he took the bread and he said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. So now, we are about to eat his body, his flesh. And verse 54 says that, if who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. So now, life is about to be imparted to your brains, to your kidneys, to your liver. Life is coming to your blood. Life is coming into your being. Yes. In fact, your life is being extended. You are being delivered from armed robbers, and anything that shortens life or cuts life short, life is coming into you as you partake of the body of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. This is declared to be the body of Jesus Christ. And as we receive it now, we receive an impartation of life. Life into our lives. All types of life. We receive life. We receive life. We receive life. In Jesus' name, the body of Jesus Christ. And now the blood. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Through this blood, your sins are washed away. I just saw people running out of a prison just now in a moment. You are escaping from prison. You are escaping from evil. You are escaping from traps as you partake of the blood. Whatever you lack because of your mistakes is washed away today. My blood is drink indeed. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. Receive the life of God into your life as you partake of this blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus.
Far away stood an old rugged cross.
Receive it.
The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross.
Where the dearest.
Where the dearest.
And the best. Receive your blessing. May the blessing found in the body and the blood of Jesus be given to you. Whatever is sick in you is healed today. Sickness sickness of your soul, sickness of your temperament, sickness of your behavior, all forms of stubbornness, all forms of difficulty of hearing, all forms of hardness of heart, all forms of bad attitudes, all types of pride, all spiritual sicknesses are declared rebuked today in Jesus' name. And you are now receiving healing from all kinds of illness of your life. Whoever is a beautiful girl here but has a bad character, unmarriageable nature, you are healed of that unmarriageable nature today in Jesus' name. Whichever is a man here, you've been to school but you cannot prosper. Whatever makes you lazy, whatever makes you unable to do well, unable to relate well, you are cured of that bad behavior today in Jesus' name. Whatever makes you a thief, even though you are born again, whatever makes you a liar, even though you are saved, whatever makes you have the character of a devil, you are cured of that evil spirit today in Jesus' name. I declare that foreign spirit, unclean devils, birds, wicked serpents are coming out of you. Creatures are coming out of you as I speak now in Jesus' name. You are declared free from all forms of chains and wickedness in your life. Whoever told you that you are a fool, a foolish child, you will live to disprove it in Jesus' name. Your life will go in such a way that it will be proved that you are not a fool. Receive wisdom from God and become 10 times better than your brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. All types of foolishness, family foolishness, youthful foolishness, all kind of domestic foolishness in any way, form or fashion is cured in your life today in Jesus' name. You'll never suffer loss in this life. You will not plan for another person to reap. You will not go to work for another person to enjoy the fruits of your labor. You are beginning to enjoy the fruits of your own labor from today in Jesus' name. Now, whatever makes you insignificant, such that you are ignored everywhere you go, you are ignored and disregarded, I declare from today, you will never be ignored again in Jesus' name. From today, the spirit of importance is imparted to you now because Christ is in you, the hope of your glory. Yes, I see the wisdom of an old man being given to a young man. The wisdom of an old woman being given to a young woman. The wisdom of God is imparted into you now at this time in Jesus' name. You are a special child. You are a special child. You are a special child by the power of God. Whatever makes you ordinary is no more working. What makes you special is working now. What makes you unusual and peculiar is special is working in your life. Be blessed and be a peculiar child. You shall pick up scorpions and serpents and it shall not harm you. You shall drink deadly poison, it will not have any effect on you. You shall speak in new tongues. You shall be different and 10 times wiser by the power of God. Now, this week you'll be chosen for something good. This week you'll be selected among your colleagues. This week God will isolate you and bless you. God chooses you among your equals and honors you this week in Jesus' name. Whatever good news you have been expecting for a long time, receive that good news this week in Jesus' name. You cannot go down anymore. Going down is no more part of your life. You are going up in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the going up now in the name of Jesus. The blessing of Jehovah prevails over the curses that have been spoken against you. The blessing of the Lord prevails in your life. The blessing of the Lord prevails in your life. The blessing of the Lord prevails in your life. Good things will be said about you this week. This week you will hear for the first time somebody who has been criticizing you will say something good about you. The tide is turning. Things are changing in your favor. Things are changing in your favor. Things are changing in your favor. Thus says the Lord, I will repay the enemy that has lifted up his horns against you. I will repay. Vengeance is mine. This week you will hear vengeance of the Lord has been executed on your enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hand and thank God for your blessing that is real and practical in your life. Father, thanks for your blessing that has come into our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, this is a very good week, this particular week. I'm going to hear of great things. I believe the prophecies, predictions that have been spoken over my life, they will happen practically in my life. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dycuid Mills, please visit our website at www.dycuidmills.org. God richly bless you.